I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Earlier this afternoon, Donald Trump was arraigned on a New York Supreme Court indictment, returned by a Manhattan grand jury on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records in the first degree. Under New York state law, it is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime. That is exactly what this case is about. 34 false statements made to cover up other crimes. These are felony crimes in New York State, no matter who you are.
Mark this date, April 4th, 2023. That's Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg explaining the 34 criminal charges filed against former President Trump today. And at one point he said it involved what he called a catch-and-kill scheme.
Executives at the publishing company American Media Incorporated, Mr. Cohen and others agreed in 2015 to a catch and kill scheme. That is a scheme to buy and suppress negative information to help Mr. Trump's chance of winning the election. As part of this scheme, Donald Trump and others made three payments to people who claimed to have negative information about Mr. Trump. To make these payments, they set up shell companies, and they made yet more false statements.
Now, one of the attorneys representing Trump said that the president, former president, left frustrated and upset. He also said the indictment is a boilerplate. It does not allege any federal crime and state crime that's actually been violated. So says one of the Trump attorneys. Florida Senator Marco Rubio said the long-term impact of today's indictments against Trump are raising a lot of concerns, and they are legitimate concerns.
After today, every prosecutor in America that wants to make a name for themselves now is going to have permission to basically go after someone in the other party. What's going to stop some Republican or conservative prosecutor now from saying, well, now I'm going to go after Joe Biden or his family or Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi, whoever? What's going to stop them? Nothing's going to stop them, because today we set a new normal. Today we set the new normal that if you really want to take someone down, nothing should stop you. You should be able to manipulate the law any way you want to charge someone.
You heard Rubio mention Bill Clinton. Tucker Carlson picks up the idea of rogue prosecutors in the future versus the U.S. justice system.
It's been long enough that we can admit, honestly, it seemed to have happened to Bill Clinton. That was gross, an offense against his wife. Was it really a crime? Probably not, certainly not by current standards. But Republicans said it was, and that backfired spectacularly on them. So some have wondered what this is really about. Will the indictment of Trump by Alvin Bragg backfire on the Biden administration and the Democratic Party?
That is a question that will be played out as we move deeper into the coming election. Now, conservative Candace Owens, initially critical of Donald Trump, had similar concerns to Senator Rubio that you were playing with fire here and the U.S. law.
I know people are understandably outraged and people are understandably angry, but I also want to comment on just the overwhelming despair and sadness that all of this is making me feel. And I know that so many people at home are feeling the exact same way, not just about America's present, feeling bleak about the future, dystopian nightmare that we're currently existing in, but also looking backward. You know, one of the things that I think a lot of us are feeling is disillusionment with what American justice is even about. We've spent the better half of the last century entering in other countries, saying that we have a right to be here because we're spreading quote unquote democracy. We've completely lost the moral high ground. I'm not sure if we ever really had it.
Did we ever have the moral high ground, Candace Owens? Now, something else to keep in mind, the next in-person hearing in this case is currently set for December 4. That is subject to change, but the next time Trump is due in court in person would be December 4, unless there's a delay of some type. But again, his attorney, one of them, saying nothing Bragg presented. Even though he stood up there and talked about 34 indictments and did this and did that, he said it's all boilerplate. In other words, it's like a cookie cutter. Anyone could have taken that same template and added someone else's name, different little charges, boilerplate. Doesn't change anything. There are those that point out that Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor behind these charges, of course, in office only since the beginning of 2022, and ran on the campaign on a promise that he would basically take down Donald Trump. But at the same time, he's built a record of dropping felony charges, decreasing felony convictions, downgrading felonies to mere misdemeanors, often not even bothering to request bail for suspects accused of felonies. He has also taken misdemeanors and just thrown them out. Some I could understand, like marijuana. Now, with it everywhere, being bought in stores, I could see them saying, let's just move away from it. Turnstile jumping? Well, they already have problems finding money for their subway system. If you're going to let folks just go ahead and jump the turnstile, just take the damn things out. They're not going to pay if they're not going to be charged with anything. Trespassing? Someone comes onto your property, they can come and remove them, but apparently Alvin Bragg's not going to prosecute them, so they could show up again. Driving with a suspended license, prostitution, resisting arrest for non-criminal offenses. Now, technically, if you're being arrested, you're facing some kind of criminal offense, but Bragg is just going to push them aside. This is not going to help the work of the New York City Police. It is not going to make the city safer, and yet he has spent all of his time, capital, money, his employees, looking to take down the head of Donald Trump. Well, today, April 4, he made the first swipe at the head of Donald Trump. There are those who are happy. They want to see Donald Trump's head. But there are those who also say the facts of the law. Keep those in mind. Could you please? Coming up, Biden White House lying on the Chinese spy balloon. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with a Better Business Bureau. 644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. You want a beautiful lawn, but if you live by my motto, I don't do projects. So call the experts, Allen Outdoor Solutions, lawn maintenance, landscaping, lighting, irrigation. Recent storms might have created some drainage issues. That's not good for your home. Get immediate help or a quote. Call my friend, Steve Allen, 314-647-4800, 647-4800, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Victoria Coates, policymaker with senior experience across the U.S. government in Congress, White House, Department of Energy, senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation when it comes to national security, focusing on various national security issues, including countering the threat from the People's Republic of China. Victoria, glad to have you aboard.
Larry, it's good to be with you on this crazy, crazy day.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the Trump thing continues to unfold while we're talking. I want to begin with a question I left the audience at the end of the preceding segment. I had suggested I'm going to ask you to begin with. We've been getting one story from the Biden White House. It changed. Another story, it changed. Another story, changed. Another story. And China has been saying it was just a weather balloon. And, of course, that's changed. We all know it's all wrong. But I have to ask you, because I have to admit, I'm shameful to admit, I tend to believe the Chinese more than I do the Biden White House.
Yeah, that you know you're in a sorry state of affairs when they're your authoritative source. And they've at least been consistent that this is they keep calling it a civilian
weather balloon.
Yeah, but they had a different term for it. And I think we should get a search on all of the scientific treaties that Obama signed with China in the name of climate research, if that is permissible in U.S. airspace. Because that phrase that they're using is very specific. And so if there is some kind of permission, and, you know, anyone who sees them clearly knows they're going to think that that's a ticket, you know, literally a ticket to ride. And that, you know, they've been doing however much of this, which they didn't tell us about in the Trump administration. And they did tell us when other things happened, like, you know, the Russians would be flying too close to Alaska or something right. like that. But they didn't tell us this, and it would make sense to me that they were trying to protect their climate treaty.
So NBC News is quoting sources as saying that it clearly was collecting information and disseminating in real time. Now, we were told by the Biden White House, Pentagon, whoever else they put up front to do the lying for them, it's flying across the states. We know that, but we're not allowing it to transmit real-time information back to China. Again, which one are you going to believe?
Well, I mean, it even goes higher than that. I mean, Admiral Kirby, who's the NSC spokesperson, right. referred to this thing as benign, right. you know, just observation. Then the president said he wasn't too worried about it. And they knew at that point, they had to know that it was transmitting back. And what I'd also like to know is when did this decision tree start? Was it when it was over Alaska that they weren't going to shoot it down? You know, when they claimed that it was just drifting, it wasn't in any under, you know, propel from Beijing, when suddenly it turns out it was able to do figure eight
right.
over these sensitive sites as it collected information on them.
Well, they're figure and eight winds in the sky all the time. I'm a pilot. I don't know how many times I've been caught in a figure eight.
Well, and, you know, it seems like it's an ice skating competition, but why they didn't shoot it down over Montana. The good people of Montana were probably perfectly happy to take it out if given half a chance.
Yeah, but they got a lot of open land in Montana. They could have done it there. You're right. It's not like a New York City.
No, and it also had apparently a self-destruct mechanism on it. And so what was stopping the Chinese from detonating that when it was over St. Louis?
My thought on that, and I want to get your opinion. You're the expert. You're listening to Victoria Coates for the Heritage Foundation. My thought is they thought, we don't need to destroy it. It's working, doing anything we want. And the American people, the president's already said, well, we can't shoot it down now. It's over our civilian population. So they're not going to down it. So let it go, you know. But your point being is that it entered our 12-mile territorial waters off of the Aleutian Islands. We knew it. The Alaskan Command notified. NORAD was aware. They're ready to scramble. And the word was, don't go.
Exactly. And, you know, the excuse we heard over and over again was it was an intolerable, you know, danger to civilians on the ground. And I agree with you that if behaving logically, the Chinese would just leave this thing going as long as it could, transmitting, yeah. you know, merrily away as it, you know, went on its field trip. But, you know, what if they suddenly decided, you know, heck, we're going to detonate it, and they're going to choose. I mean, then it's out of our hands, and they choose to do it over one of the major cities it crossed. So it just seems to me the height of irresponsibility to have let this thing, once it crossed Alaskan airspace, I can bet you dollars to donuts that for President Trump, this would not have been a decision. He probably would have gotten angry with us if we came to him to ask, and instead of coming to him with the news that the thing had been right. had been destroyed. But we once it entered Alaska, come on.
Yeah, and let me take us back to 9/11, when we had two planes hit the World Trade Center. All commercial airliners were ordered down. And, of course, we had one go down in Pennsylvania approaching Washington, D.C. But at that point, there were standing orders to shoot down a U.S. commercial airliner if they would not respond and get on the ground right away. So, I mean, because we did not know who was flying and who had control. And that would have been a hell of a lot more damage and threat to those on the ground than what was with this balloon.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, let's not forget that fourth plane that attacked the Pentagon, where my old boss Don Rumsfeld was that day. Unbelievable, you know, that they would treat, after that experience, and I think Joe Biden's old enough to remember 9/11, but, you know, after that experience, not to have treated this with the utmost seriousness once they had some sense, you know, that this thing, you know, was being piloted from Beijing, that it did have a significant payload on it, and whether or not they knew it was able to self-destruct, you at least would have had to take that into consideration, even if you didn't know it for certain.
And at the point you say that we knew it was making its own maneuvers when we watch it in flight, so it could have gone ahead and maneuvered over a major city and then destroyed it if the Chinese wanted to do it. If we were willing to bring down a commercial jetliner with people on board and we wouldn't take an act against a payload under a Chinese balloon, I say stupidity.
Well, and timidity. You know, clearly
ineptness.
They did.
Yeah.
all of these.
Yeah.
All the words. But they, you know, they clearly did not want to offend the Chinese if they didn't absolutely have to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Blinken. They wanted to keep the Blinken meeting going with China. Right.
Exactly.
Did they open any? Maybe they got some Chinese cookies to open that day. Fortune cookies.
Well, that may be what they're taking their advice from.
Yeah, you may be right. Victoria Coates with the Heritage Foundation. When they talk about, they admit that, yeah, it was collecting information, but they're not being specific, and that's understandable. I don't want to give away any secrets that would threaten our nation, but China apparently already has them. What do you think they were actually gathering, and do you really believe that it was sent to China in real time, that they got everything that they wanted?
Well, remember, the People's Republic functions on data and information. That is literally their political currency. They are a surveillance state. No detail is too small or seemingly unimportant for them to not want to hoover it up into their databases and, you know, feed their algorithms with it. And so, I think this was, purely opportunistic on their part. That they wanted to very much to take the medal of the Biden administration. You know, as we approach the 1 year anniversary of the Ukraine war, you know, around this time frame, I think they wanted to see if we could walk and chew gum, which apparently we cannot. And you know, that they would get as much as they could, and anything they could get would be great. And you can imagine their amazement as they're doing these figure eights over, you know, nuclear missile silos, and nobody's saying boo. And they're watching as much as we are. The administration spokesmen come out and say that it's benign, it's fine. They're like, what do we have to do to get our eyes out of these people?
That's pretty interesting. So I think, that's a good point, yeah. Because I can see them in their control room looking, look at those stupid Americans. now again, let's quickly point out the difference between a balloon at this altitude. That was maybe what were they estimating, 6,000 feet originally, or maybe higher than that, I think. But it's certainly,
I think it was higher, yeah.
I'm sorry, how high? What was
it? I agree, it's higher.
I was thinking, come to think of more, it was above a commercial traffic, come to think of it, probably around 45,000, 50,000 feet, which gives it a widespread view. But, of course, spy satellites are even higher than that, and they're gathering it. So what would the balloon get that they don't get from a spy satellite?
I think it's just a different perspective. You know, it is closer in the atmosphere. I mean, and as I said, they just want more information, just right. Every bit of information.
By whatever means, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, the test was whether the Biden folk would react. And I think what they're really trying to ascertain is how far they can push this fiction that they're willing to do some kind of climate deal, you know, with the Biden administration.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. The other thing I had in mind, we don't know, and I don't think it did happen, but we didn't know at that time that it wasn't releasing some fine mist settling across our nation. They're going to break out a whole new Wuhan flu or something.
EMP.
I was going to say EMP, the other issue, yeah. Shut down all of our electrical grid.
Absolutely. Admiral Stravides has a very disturbing book out a year or so ago. I think it's called 2028 or something like that. And it's literally what happens when the Chinese shut down the electric grid and the internet. And that, you know, what a horrible pickle we're in because we're not prepared. And so for days, this thing could have done any of those. Chairman Xi had made the calculation that this was his moment of opportunity to actually attack America. You know, mercifully, he's not at that point yet, and he didn't. But
that yet, you said at no that, guarantees. You said, I'm sorry, you said at that point yet.
Right, that he would actually take aggressive, offensive action, not just kind of, you know, fly the balloon across, but, you know, detonate it or do, as you said, release a biological agent or whatever.
You want to roll the dice in the last 30 seconds? Tell me what you think their next action will be.
I think they're just going to keep, you know, pushing around the edges. They are having a very good time doing these international deals, kind of taking the place of the United States traditionally in, say, Middle East diplomacy. And I think they're just keeping a real clear eye on Taiwan. And, you know, the other thing they're watching, Larry, is this circus in New York today.
Yeah, yeah.
This pointless, distracting witch hunt for the former president. And they're watching that, too.
You used the same phrase I did earlier, a circus. Victoria Coates, the only thing I'd say about them shutting down electric grid, well, we wouldn't be able to get TikTok. I don't think they'll do that. Hey, I want to thank you very much for your time and your expertise.
Always a pleasure.
It was a pleasure. We will do it again. She's an amazing woman, a lot of knowledge. Glad to have her on board. It's hard to find a car you like, but here's an easier way. AckermanToyota.com. In a flash, you're going to see new and pre-owned. You can quickly select which model you want. Price, colors, options, get details on financing, lifetime oil changes, lifetime engine warranty. Just click AckermanToyota.com, AckermanToyota.com, Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44, Ackerman Toyota for life. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, Victoria Coates with the Heritage Foundation gave us a good idea, speaking about that China balloon, of the threat from China constantly trying to get any information, however small it might seem, any information at all they can gather, reference U.S., U.S. intel, our ability to fight, to ward them off, to protect our grid, and whatever else it wants. Well, of course, that's one of our enemies at this point. And they are now closely aligned with the other, Russia. And there's a development that's gotten Russia upset. Officially today, Finland became the 31st member of NATO. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said, "The stakes for cooperation between Washington and the European Union cannot be higher as the Ukrainian war tests diplomatic ties for Western leaders. And now Finland says we want to be inside NATO because with NATO nations we have an agreement. If they need defense and help, we will go in." Response from the Kremlin? Immediate. Accusing NATO of threatening Russia's security and national interest by welcoming Finland into that alliance. And the Kremlin says it's prepared to respond tactically and strategically. They also say that Finland's accession is an aggravation of the situation, basically saying the military alliance is encroaching on Russia's borders. Finland shares an 800-mile border with Russia, and now it's going to be part of NATO. The NATO secretary is saying that we will not send any NATO troops along that border in Finland unless Finland requests it. But the Kremlin continues to warn Moscow will take countermeasures to ensure our own security. They will keep monitoring the situation, the deployment of NATO infrastructure, and any weapons on the territory of Finland, stating response measures will be taken. While Russia's premise for its invasion of Ukraine was, of course, in part to keep NATO from expanding and getting too close, they don't like the fact now that Finland is aboard. But they still say it's fundamentally different than the situation with Ukraine. And, of course, now, because of Finland joining NATO, Ukraine is also pushing. We want in. We want in. That hotbed and China, remember Premier Xi went to meet with Putin trying to help work out a peace settlement in regarding Ukraine? I personally doubt there was any effort to find a peace settlement. It might have been a way to show China is still stronger than Russia because Russia needs munitions. And China will supply them in return for favors in the future. Of course, this Trump event underway in Manhattan today, CNN and NN even released a poll earlier today saying that politics played a role in the indictment. The question was, how big a role do you think politics played in the decision to indict Trump? 52% said a major role. 23% said it was a part of it, but a minor role. And 14% surveyed said, no, politics had nothing to do with what we're seeing in Manhattan today and where we go from here. How can you possibly believe that? Obviously, politics had a role in it. Alvin Bragg, who's been very big about not pushing felonies in other cases, walking away from cases where evidence is very clear because he felt the justice system has wronged people of color, and he's put all of his capital, his effort, and his time and his team into going after Donald Trump. Well, today he got what he wanted to an extent. He got Donald Trump showing up in a Manhattan courtroom to address the indictments, 34 indictments filed by Bragg. I've been kind of watching how this case is with Trump has been unfolding in the sense of, again, reminding you that these are charges that have been elevated from paying off a porn star to keep quiet, a non-disclosure agreement, to a felony by the prosecutor, Alvin Bragg. On that point, this is obviously an effort to destroy Donald Trump. is not looking for justice. Oh, he can claim he is, but when you've got to cobble a case together like this with so many little pieces, it's not that solid. It won't be hard, probably, for Trump's attorneys to blow it out of the water once, if he gets to trial. And it's also not very likely the judge is simply going to dismiss it because, as Alan Dershowitz had said, no one wants to be another Dershowitz and be maligned and criticized and be abandoned by long-term friends and acquaintances and even clients who suddenly decide, you're just too toxic for me to be around because you support Donald Trump. Dershowitz has said, I'm a Democrat. I did not vote for him. And all I did was defend him by the rule of law in the Senate during some of the impeachment proceedings, which is what I do. And as a professor of law, that's what he wants to uphold, the law. I have a lot of friends who are attorneys, and a lot of jokes are made about attorneys, and they make some of them themselves. They joke about it. But it's really serious business when you're getting down to someone's life and what could change with their life depending upon the verdict. And if they don't get a full and proper defense, then it's going to hurt them. Not just them at that point, but down the road. And then it involves family and deeper. Trump, of course, is seen as many as being, he's got to be guilty of something. That doesn't cut it. You can't just say that person's got to be guilty of something. You need specifics, and then you got to prove it. And yeah, the law is built in such a way that if you don't do it properly, it might be a technicality, as you call it, that they get off on, but the trial's done. You can't have double jeopardy. You can't go back and say, well, we're going to do it again. Now, they will often look for another way to rewrite charges or find something new. You may not be a MAGA supporter. You may not be a Trump-like. You may be a Trump hater. But if you believe in this country and democracy and the rule of law, you have to be asking yourself, is this right? And if it's right for them to do this, not a Trump, when they come for you, then what?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So put this on your calendar, May the 1st. Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have the finest seafood, lobster, crab, caviar. May 1st, Napoli C opens on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Which is also open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, Streets of St. Charles, and then May 1st, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So again, if we're talking about how the Americans in general approve or disapprove of the indictment charges against Trump, CNN has a survey out, and it found that 60% of Americans they surveyed approve of the indictment of the former president. 60%. 38% disapprove. If you break it down party lines, well, you're going to get exactly what you would expect. Democrats are near universal in their support of the indictment, 94% approving. And Republicans, less unified, 54% strongly disapproving, 79% overall disapproving. That's where we are right now, and we're divided so much in this nation. Trump is getting a lot of blame for the division that's in the nation right now. But I say it's a bigger issue than that. And how do you want to resolve it? Maybe it starts by we quit pointing the finger of blame. Maybe it starts by where we start instead of pointing a finger of blame, we extend a hand of friendship, fellowship, and try to get to know each other and find the things we have in common, things that we can relate to, that we enjoy, a ball game, a music festival, a great time out dining, talking about your kids or your grandkids or their achievements. Oh, I know it sounds like Mayberry, back in the 50s or something like that. We can go back if we will quit shouting and shoving and pushing and remember our pledge, one nation under God.